Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the November 30 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities. He's out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Let's begin with this question, as we always do, by getting a list of items we should discuss. Ellen Dearden, I think I'll start with you today. What's on your list?
Well, I think the thing that I really noticed that happened on Thursday was a huge decline in the Brazilian real. Even though the U.S. dollar was down a little bit, the real was down lots more.
Greg Johnson from you?
Well, the USDA issued its baseline projections for the next 10 years, and we all know that that'll change over the years, but I thought it was interesting to look at their next year's projections for corn and bean acres. I think depending on how many acres of each we plant, that could help the market out or hurt the market, depending on how many acres we get. So I think that would be something to discuss.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Yeah, we actually had a couple of government reports. We had the energy standards as well today. And I think just looking out to next year and kind of talking about what we maybe could expect, and as Greg said, the acres, and where does that put us from a supply and demand standpoint?
And finally, Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities.
Yeah, I'd like to add, what's South American weather going to do? I mean, what can we find that's going to bring some kind of bump or rally in this market? Maybe it's some weather. Exports have been, kind of tailing off here on the low side, so those would be things I'd be watching.
I want to start with this question, and maybe each of you can jump in. But Greg Johnson, by the time we get to the end of the year, farmers will be looking to sell some stored corn, commercially that is, in order to keep it from being stored later into the next year, or simply because they need to have some cash by the end of the year. What do you think they ought to do between now and then?
Well, what they ought to do and what they will do may be two different things. I think what they will do is do anything they can not to sell corn at what they perceive as too low of a price. We're seeing farmers sell beans, a bigger percentage of beans, to generate cash flow, and then they're taking basis advances. They can get 75% of the value of the grain without having to sell it. And so that raises some cash flow. So that's what they're doing. They've done that the last 2 years. And fortunately, we've had summer rallies, and that's bailed them out. So I guess they're hoping that the third time is a charm, and that we see some kind of a corn rally between now and summer. But it feels like that's what they're going to do. I'm not sure if that's the right thing to do or not, but that certainly feels like that's what they're planning on doing at this point.
And what is it that you think they ought to do?
Well, I don't want to sell corn at these prices either. But if we do see a small rally, 10, 15, 20 cents, and 20 is maybe too optimistic, 10 or 15 cents, we probably should sell some corn just to get not have all our eggs in one basket, because a lot of guys have 75, 80, 85% of the old crop corn still unhedged, unsold, and that just seems to be too big of a percentage, in my opinion.
Sherman Newlin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd kind of echo everything Greg was saying. I think if a guy had to sell some corn, before the end of the year, I would maybe look at doing a basis contract. Basis has been kind of improving here a little bit, and doing it that way. That way you can get some advance on your money and look at that. I also agree. I think, selling beans up here, if you needed to have some cash flow, towards the end of the year, would probably be a good idea. Also, because beans right now, you can still sell at a, most likely a profitable level. Corn, you can't sell right now at a profitable level. So in case beans would happen to sell off some, why not just go ahead and sell some beans, and instead of having two crops go into where you're not making any money?
Ellen and Bill, I think I'll open it up for you, and maybe we'll start with Bill.
I guess a couple of things, I think. Number one, I think the farmer's got to stay ahead of the curve. He's got to be looking out there 2 to 3 months ahead as we go through the year, make sure that he knows when those cash needs are coming. What he can't do is wait till he's forced to sell the grain. Actually, the storage of the crop at harvest has worked so far for him from the standpoint of the basis improving, even with the in at least some areas maybe not. But if you look at the net, even with the futures dropping some, they're probably money ahead. So you need to, another thing I think you need to do is take a look at it from the standpoint of yields and dollars per acre, and look at it that way rather than just strictly price. How many dollars per acre did I think I was going to get, and maybe with some better yields, how much can I get now? So stay out ahead of it. Get your cash flow needs planned more than 30 to 60 days ahead of time.
And finally, Ellen Dearden.
Well, in the Peak and Peoria area, we've seen corn basis going into the processors improve about 6 cents this week. And the thing that I noticed is that for the second half of December delivery, the basis improvement's even larger. So for the guy that's got stuff on farm, targeting that second half of Dece for making some sales, and I think we still have a little more modest upside available to us. I think that's, you just have to flat price it. I don't expect to see a huge basis improvement coming, so maybe a basis contract would be a second way, but processors won't write a basis contract for you.
Bill Mayer, you mentioned that we should talk about the RFS, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, on Thursday did update its numbers for the 2018 calendar year. Were they positive?
Well, I think from the standpoint of the corn, they look positive to me, and I think the reaction in the trade was positive on the board on corn. I think they may have been a little bit disappointed on the advanced biofuels or the biodiesel part of it, and especially with the 2019 advanced biodiesel numbers, I think we're a little bit lower than what they expected. I think that affected our bean market a little bit today.
And Greg Johnson, I'm sure you talked about them there, since the Andersons is heavily involved in the ethanol industry.
Yeah, I view it as more we dodged the bullet. the fear was that, Pruitt from EPA would, return to his Oklahoma roots and support the oil industry over the ethanol industry. He did not do that. He kept his word. He said he was going to keep it unchanged to slightly higher. Those are the numbers that came out. So I'm not sure if it's bullish or friendly, but at least it's not negative. So I think we dodged a bullet today.
Now, follow up with you on another subject line, Greg. The baseline projections were out from the United States Department of Agriculture, looking at not only the coming year, but the 10-year. What did you see in those that you found of interest?
Well, it certainly looks like the U.S. acreage can't change very much. I mean, the top eight crops are still about the same. We can argue that the mix is going to be a little bit lower. It seems like wheat is growing, is being grown in other countries, and so our wheat acres are going down. Unfortunately, that means corn and bean acres go up, and so we're looking at 91, 92 million acres of corn and beans here in the U.S., which is up from last year. And that, until wheat prices start to come back, we'll probably see more corn and beans planted in the United States. And so with a 2.4 billion carryout this year, and then 91 million acres, if you assume a trend line yield, the carryout gets up to 2.5 or 2.6. So bottom line, the government is telling us that unless we have a weather problem somewhere in the world, we need to lock in profits, small profits, because if we wait until the crop is harvested next fall, we may not be at profitable levels. And that's one thing I've been encouraging producers to look at, is the 2018 corn and bean futures, not just the 2017. I mean, we're looking at something very close to $4 corn and $10 beans for the 2018 crop. We can't get that for the 2017, but we can get that for the 2018. So I think, we almost need to start marketing the 2018 crop a little bit before we get all the 2017 marketed.
Ellen, I want to come to you on that note, looking forward to 2018. And Sherman Newland, I've got a question to you for you related to market forces and wheat, because you're closer to the regions that have historically grown wheat and were still mostly growing wheat or until recently. But Ellen, when you look into 2018 and current crop and the current pricing, are you willing to make sales?
Yeah, I've made some a little bit of sales with options only. I want to be pretty darn flexible. And actually, today turned around and sold some puts under the market in the corn, feeling that we probably have several weeks of upside here for me to look at legging into a long put situation. So we sold the 360 December 18 corn puts. And, you know, it's not a big amount of money pocketed, but 11 and a half cents will be something. And my guess is that I have a chance to sell some, to buy some $4 December corn puts, the 18 crop puts.
So let me be clear on this. For the options, sometimes people are confused, and I'm among them occasionally, but I believe what you've just told us is that you sold the put, so you're actually not looking to put a commodity on the market or make a sale of a commodity, but it's the opposite way around, so that that would give you a long position?
I'm essentially saying I'm willing to give to somebody else the risk at that stage of the game and down there at the 360, which is 27 cents below Thursday night's close. But again, I want to put on some long $4 puts against that. And I think that we'll have that kind of an opportunity in the next couple of weeks.
Sherman Newland, I want to come back to you and talk about wheat as it's related to USDA's baseline numbers. Greg simply said that there was an awful lot of wheat around on the world market, and then he referred and referenced the size of the acreage for both corn and soybeans. You're a bit further to the south than the rest of us. Historically, a lot more wheat grown in southern Illinois, soft red, of course, as opposed to hard red. However, those acreage numbers have been going down. Is that a response simply to the marketplace? I'm trying to find out from you whether you think that's a crop insurance response, whether that is simply a market shift based on the price in Chicago for corn and soybeans is better than the price of wheat, and we can finally grow them in a productive way.
Right. I think it's that as much as anything. I mean, acres down here have been dropping off, seem like every year. I mean, some of us still plant wheat. I plant some in a rotation because I grow seed corn. But for the most part, guys that aren't doing that, they've really dropped off on wheat planting. Just because between the yield and the price you're getting, you're just not grossing enough dollars to make it pay. And, you know, when you can plant beans and you know, get a 60, 70 type bushel yield and sell it at $10, they're more apt to go that route on their thinner type soil. And with the genetics we've been getting in this corn anymore, you know, you can plant corn. You know, hopefully get a good yield out of it, but it's still a better deal than what the wheat's been doing here lately. So the acres has just been falling off. I mean, it's just getting to be, you know, I know, and myself included, we even used some for cover crop this year because it's something to throw out there, and that's about all you're doing.
So consequently, Bill Mayer, there are just simply more acres available to go to other crops, and it appears that corn and soybeans across the whole of the Midwest are the two primary crops that people turn to. And has that changed very much the way you have to think about marketing, depending on, I suppose, maybe where you are? And I guess I'm thinking about along the Illinois River and the Mississippi. You might have to think about this a little bit, but I'm thinking over the last 10 years, the build-out of the ethanol plants in the Dakotas, in particular parts of Iowa, and the way that changed the basis for them. We have wheat acres that have gone down in those regions. And then, of course, there's broader, I guess, as basis narrowed across the whole of the Corn Belt as it, or narrowed, how do I say this? Has the average basis for the whole nation narrowed, but in our part of the world widened out? Does that make sense to you as a question?
I guess I would have to say that I think that the basis has narrowed over the areas that weren't large corn producers, probably more than it has here in the central part of the country where we have produced corn. But I don't know that it's, you know, necessarily widened here and narrowed. And it depends. It's more regional than that, probably. It's probably more local than it would be, you know, being able to say a certain region of the country, I think. I guess I'm a little bit confused on the wheat acreage, too, because, I mean, whenever I looked at some of the dollars and cents part of it, about the best program out there seems to be wheat followed by soybeans in some of the areas where you can do that if you're far enough south. And I guess I'm surprised that there's not more of that being done.
Why do you think that's the case?
This part of the country, one of the problems, and you kind of hit on it there, I don't think you really have a strong demand for wheat. I mean, it's not a crop that necessarily gets the basis has to work to get the crop delivered and that type of thing, where it pretty much just comes into the storage facilities as it's harvested because it's just not the priority.
Yeah, I would just throw in there on why farmers haven't been planting as much wheat. Is 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years ago, there were vomitoxin issues and farmers got $1 to $2 discounts in consecutive years. Some of them had it 3 years in a row. And with low wheat prices to begin and then big quality discounts on top of that, they were really sour on planting wheat. Now, the last 2 years, we haven't had the vomitoxin problems, and the double crop soybeans have been very, very well. So as Bill said, the last couple of years, wheat followed by beans has been a profitable endeavor, but go back 3, 4, and 5 years, and it wasn't.
That's an excellent point on the vomitoxin.
Alan Dearden, what do you see for farmers as it goes for rotation as it relates to corn and soybeans across the state of Illinois? They've been pretty good at adapting over the last 4 years ahead of the rest of the Corn Belt, meaning the soybean acres in Illinois have gone up. And I'm wondering whether you think that will continue.
I think we will see more corn acres this upcoming year, just due to rotational issues and guys that have planted beans after beans already once. I think they're a little hesitant to do so. And particularly with the super duper corn yields over much of the state of Illinois, I would imagine even some southern Illinois farmers that generally kind of shy away from a lot of corn will have more corn this year.
Greg, how much of each commodity, corn and soybeans, do you think farmers have left to market? And is it behind or ahead of pace?
We're definitely behind pace on corn. Last year we were behind pace on corn, and then farmers got caught up on those June, July rallies to get corn sold. But I think they're probably 25 to 30% sold. So I think they've got 65-70% of the crop of corn left to sell. Beans, they're probably closer to 50 to 60% sold. So not as much risk on the bean market. They've got more of those sold ahead because the market offered them, you know, several opportunities to sell beans at $10, and they took advantage of that. But they were waiting for $4 corn, and we didn't have $4 corn, so they're still holding on to the corn. So I'd say they're behind pace on corn, similar to last year, and right on pace, maybe even a little bit ahead of pace as far as bean selling is concerned.
For the last several weeks, Sherman, the meteorologist on WILL, have been talking about Argentina, La Nina event there, dry weather conditions, but I don't know that any of them are convinced that it will last for very long, and they all say that it's fairly early in the season. Do you have a view?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of from the weather guys we listen to, it's the same thing that we're picking up right now. Right now, it's not a dire situation. I mean, it is something to be looked upon later on, but most seem to think that they're getting by with the weather they have, and then coming into the first of the year, that Jan through March time frame is going to be a little bit more critical. So that may, you know, affect the yields more so at that point. I mean, it was cool down there early because, you know, when you have dry ground, you can get a little bit colder of a night. So that kind of killed some stuff here lately with some frost damage, but I don't think it was anything major. But I'm really looking for the, you know, first of the year to see what the weather does more than anything right now. That's kind of why I'm concerned a little bit about the beans. You know, technically they look like they could sell off some. Weather in Brazil right now, you know, is pretty good, I think, for the most part. They're getting the rain that they need, and, you know, the exports are behind pace. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, we could have a little bit of a sell-off in the beans, but weather-wise, I think you got to wait till the 1st of Jan.
Ellen, where do we stand technically for the soybeans?
Well, I thought we looked kind of shabby today, although keep in mind that Thursday was the last day of the month, and we still were a penny or two higher for the month. So maybe I'm a little bit premature thinking that these nearby beans look like they want to go down to the 960 area, 965, something along that line. December is not always a great month for soybean prices, you know, historically. While it is for corn, particularly the first 3 weeks of the month.
Bill, she mentioned that we've finished the month higher. It's the third monthly close higher for the January contract. I suppose that's not a bad sign, despite the fact it was just barely a higher close.
Yeah, I think Ellen mentioned the seasonality kind of points to a little bit weaker beans going into Christmas time frame here. I think we do have the market in general leaning a little bit to the short side still. So if we do see something that concerns the people, the trade and weather-wise, it may be a little bit quicker to react than we think. But the problem that we've got on all this is we just have a pretty good amount of farmer-owned grain to sell. So when we get that 15-cent rally in corn, for example, we'll get it sold, and I think the same thing on beans. I think Greg's exactly right on percentages sold, but that still leaves a lot of beans to be sold into the marketplace at some profitable levels compared to the corn, maybe at not so profitable.
And Greg, where have farmers put their targets for both corn and soybeans for cash sales?
350 for cash corn. I think they've lowered their sights, which is good because our cash bid today is 334. So 15, 16 cents gets us real close to 350 cash. And farmers haven't been really putting in many bean offers. They've got a fair amount sold, and I think they're willing to wait and see what the January, February weather does in South America before they really get more beans sold. So I think they'd like to get corn sold another 15 cents higher, and they're being patient on more bean sales at this point.
Alan Dearden, the topic we haven't taken up from you yet is the real. What did you see there today that interested you?
Boy, that thing just collapsed, and I'm not really sure what was all behind that, but that's certainly the fact that the real is so weak against the dollar puts the competition edge in Brazil rather than the U.S., and we've kind of seen that situation in the export market here for the last, well, 3 or 4 months' time, but it certainly put the ball in their court.
And then we won't be very far from harvest for soybeans from them. Do you think that the Chinese will turn to them earlier rather than later? And if I remember correctly, the U.S. exports for soybeans still lagging a little behind what USDA expectations are?
Yeah, they're lagging both in actual shipments and also in soybean export bookings from the U.S. So it appears to me that a lot of business is probably going to head to the south. Now, keep in mind that the Brazilian farmer hasn't let a lot of crop loose. So that movement of beans out of the country is really going to depend on soybean sales by their farmers, too.
Okay, so we talked about old crop corn. Pricing old crop soybeans, or the crop that's in the bin, I'll get from each of you. Ellen Dearden, what are your best suggestions?
I'm not a willing seller of beans at this stage of the game. I just think this is a poor time to sell beans. We've been pretty darn active about bean sales, and I'm pretty comfortable as long as the meal market doesn't fall apart. You know, we've had a $30 rally in bean meal And I think that's been pretty supportive of the beans. Good crush margins, too.
Greg, you like to do what they will do and what they ought to do. What do you say?
Well, the nice thing about soybeans, advising soybean sales, is farmers can do it at profitable levels. And that's not to say that the bean market can't go higher, you know, if South America runs into some weather problems. But let's say beans get back to $9.75 cash. It's not $10, but if the farmers produce 70 bushel beans this year and sell those at $9.75, that's almost $700 in gross revenue, and that pays the bills. And so we're all about locking in profits. And if you lock in a $700 gross revenue, even if they go up another 50 cents, hopefully you still got some more beans to sell, or you've got new crop beans to sell. But we like locking in profits when we get a chance. And as I think Sherman said earlier, we can't do that on corn today, but anytime we can do it on beans, why not lock in some profit? So I'm not predicting price. I'm just saying 975 is a profitable level, so farmers should take a look at that.
Bill Mayer?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what Greg said. And as I said earlier, I think you got to look out there. And I agree with Ellen that I'm not sure I want to sell stuff right here in this time frame, but I also have to look out and say, by February 1st, how much cash do I need to generate, and am I better off to generate that through bean sales during that time frame or to generate it through corn sales? And I think right now, and especially if we get the 975 number like Greg's talking about, you're probably better off to generate your cash through the soybean sales because it is at profitable levels. And you know, then you have to look at your next step on the corn. I just want to continue to emphasize, I think that the worst thing that a farmer can do is just sit here and wait till he gets to that point where he has to make that sale, because there's going to be a majority of the people in that same boat.
And Sherman Newland, and I think we'll begin the wrap-up process too, Sherman. So soybeans and your final word.
Old beans, I mean, yeah, I'd like to see a little bit of a bounce in through here. I mean, I agree with Greg and Ellen and Bill, what they're saying. I mean, if we could get 975 cash, that would be great. I think selling some would be the right thing to do. And, you know, if you're worried about what may happen after the first year, come in, buy a March call option, spend some of that money on that. Their options are fairly inexpensive right now. Volatility's been low. So definitely, you know, take a look at doing something in that strategy wise. New crop, wrapping up new crop. I mean, I like selling some new crop beans in this $10 to $10.10, $10.20. If we could get there, you know, use the board. It's kind of what we're doing, kind of the same way with new crop corn. $3.92 to $3.95 to $4, if we could get it, I think would be a good place to get some hedges put on that DS18 corn crop.
Ellen Dearden, your final word for the day?
Don't let this market fall apart without you. You know, we've had an awful lot of people that wanted to buy July corn. It's got a huge carry to the nearby geese. You're looking at 30 cents tonight. There's no reason to be buying those deferred options. They're the ones that you're going to want to sell to protect price. You got the bushels in storage.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Yeah, I think that you want to start looking out to that 18 crop. We like the idea of selling with some kind of an option type strategy, similar to what Ellen was talking about earlier. Or there's elevators that will do that for you. Where you can get some premium over and above the given price on any day. And I believe that we're going to kind of continue like a 50-50 rotation nationwide here with somewhere around 90 million to 91 million acres of corn and beans. So if you start projecting that out using some of these baseline numbers, you could come up with some pretty large carryout numbers on both the corn and the beans next year. So I think you have to be aggressive on looking at that 18 crop.
And finally, Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
I'm going to borrow something from everybody. I like what Sherman said about corn, old crop corn, not being profitable today. But Bill said don't sit back and do nothing. And Ellen's looking for a little rally. So if you incorporate all that together, I would say get your offers in. Get corn offers in 10 to 15 cents higher, both old crop and new crop, and get bean offers in 20 to 30 cents higher on both old crop and new crop, and hopefully we can get some profits locked in on both old and new crop corn and beans.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you can listen to the whole of our program anytime that you would like. Our panelist for the program today, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from Champaign, Illinois. Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, also from Champaign. Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. And Ellen Dearden of Ag Review in Morton, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.